Father, I want to pray that what Helen brings to us this morning is on your heart, Lord. You give us ears to hear what she has to say, what the Spirit is saying to us, each one of us. I pray, Lord, that you give her clarity of thought as well. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Linda. It's funny, isn't it, how plan comes together? The Lord has been speaking to us this morning so much about defending the weak, about just taking the love of God, really, taking the love of Jesus all over the place. I want to bring it back into Marlow, I suppose, because what I want to talk about this morning is bringing healing to Marlow. And, we've been talking for a while about finding our voice as a congregation, about what's distinctive about Marlow, what's distinctive about us as a congregation. And I just felt that it was time for me to talk about how we felt when we came to Marlow. Now, before we came to Marlow, Marlow's a lovely place. I mean, just look at it. You know, there's the river, there's the park, there's every. It's just a lovely place. And so people come to Marlow and they think, wow, this is a lovely place. And after we'd been here, not long, we got to know people a bit better. We were quite surprised to find that there's actually a division in Marlow. That, you know, it's just, to me, it's just like most towns. You know, there's the streets with expensive houses and the streets with not so expensive houses, and, you know, there's a school over there and there's a school over there and whatever. But actually, when you get to know Marlow, you find that actually there's a division in Marlow. And I was quite surprised. It does seem to be something a bit exaggerated and quite deep, really. And, well, for some people, I'm sure, more than others. But the consequences do seem to plague some individuals and some families. And, you know, it's a shame, isn't it, really, that that happens, I think. We are in Holy Trinity School. And over the road is Holy Trinity Church. Well, it was. And that was built in Victorian times as a chapel of ease. And a chapel of ease, I found out, they were usually built to make it easier for people in outlying areas to get to church. So in the old days when there was there's a main parish church and then there might be a lot of villages around and it was a long way to come on your horse and cart to get to church. So they'd build a chapel of ease, which was kind of a bit further out that people could get to a bit more easily. Easily, that's why. Let's call that. And but there's a rumour going around, I think it may be of some truth, that actually this one was built in order to keep the riffraff out of All Saints, basically. That the gentry were busy worshipping on their nice big church down by the river, and they didn't want to be worshipping with their servants. They wanted the other people to go to a different church, and so they built this one, which is kind of, you can kind of see, you know, they could put a good spin on it. They could say, oh, well, you know, the style suits them better, or, you know, it's not so far for them to come, or all this kind of thing. But the reality is it's a huge and it's a tangible manifestation of something that really stinks, not to put too fine a point on it. And I don't know if that happened in other towns. Maybe it did, but it's a symbol. To me, anyway, when I found out about it, we were all talking about it, I think, in a leadership team once, and we kind of went, oh, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of a mountain. Emma was talking about mountains, and we were singing about the mountains that God can move, and that's a mountain, I think. We need to model something different, obviously, and we do. And I really believe, because of the mix in this church, that we have the ability to do that. I think we have a mandate to do that, actually, to model something different. And I want us to look at Ephesians 4. It's a great passage on unity, and see what Paul can tell us that might help as we look to change this spiritual dynamic. Colin encouraged us to say what we see, and I look at the congregation and I see a wonderful mix of people, and many of you have been working together for years in various projects and various stuff in the town, and it's a potential, isn't it, that we have such potential because of who we are, and to bring breakthrough, I think. And so I'm not preaching unity, don't get me wrong, I'm not preaching unity because I think we lack it. I'm preaching it because I think that we have the potential. We can be more mindful. We can be more deliberate about what we bring into situations which are right here, right in Marlow, right amongst us. And at this point, I want to mention churches together in Marlow as well. It's already been mentioned this morning about the prayer on Winter Hill last Monday morning. It was brilliant. It was cold. It was very cold. Next time I remember to wear thicker boots. But it was amazing. It was brilliant to see that. And the churches together in Marlow is a real force for good in Marlow. And Andy and Chris Nelson, she's disappeared. Sue Harley now is our rep. It's not just cups of tea. There's a reality in it. And Pete meets with the other ministers in Marlow. And the new Anglican guy started to come, hasn't he? And the Catholic priest is going to start coming. And that is good news. You know, that is big, actually. You know, we want to be praying for this because it's big stuff. Psalm 133 says that unity commands a blessing. And I really feel that there's something shifting and there's a blessing going to happen in Marlow because of what's going on with the churches together, with what's happening in the town. And so I suppose I feel that this is a good time then. You know, maybe this is the time to start really pressing in on some of these things. Maybe now's the time to look for strategies. I'm going to read all the passage and then we'll kind of just go through it. So, Ephesians 4. Therefore I, that's Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in the hope of one, as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. I'll miss out the parentheses. Verse 11, and then he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Amen. So let's just go through this a bit. I'm using it really to give my thoughts some structure, and you probably will think of other things as I go through it, things that I don't think of. So let's be dialoguing, let's be thinking about this as we go through it. Let's think about the things that you may bring as you have a look through this whole thing. In verse 1, Paul says, implore. That's a big word, isn't it? I implore you, I beseech you in some translations. Paul is deeply moved. He's just prayed for them that they would know the love of God and be strengthened in it, so that God would be glorified in the church through all generations. That's us. There we are. And now he's desperate for them to live out the life that they've been called to, because walking it is more effective than talking it. Verse 2. Moving in humility and gentleness, being patient with one another and tolerant of each other's quirks and foibles. Diligent to preserve the unity of the Holy Spirit. When we become Christians, we ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. We're linked in to every other person that's ever asked the Holy Spirit to come into their heart. There's one spirit and we become one body. And in verses 4 to 7, Paul is really emphasising this, the oneness of the body, that we all belong to the same God and Father. Because then he wants to talk about how in that unity there is diversity. That's a popular phrase these days, but Paul is talking about how the Lord makes us different, gives us different gifts. And so there's a different mix in the church. And we can all do stuff that we are meant to do. And we can be equipped and built up and empowered to do everything that needs doing. But between us, we can. There's three things that he says we are being built up to attain. This is verse 13. The first one is the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. This is full knowledge, discernment and recognition of Jesus. We need to know who we believe in. We need to have a clear picture of Jesus. Some of us may have experience of Jesus' help in times of grief, for instance, or in times of financial hardship. All kinds of things, different testimonies, but together our corporate picture of Jesus is clearer because we're together and we all have a different bit of it. But together we can say that God is good in all areas. The second thing that we're attaining to is to a mature man. And mature, the word is in the sense of full age and complete. And it's from a word that means goal or purpose. So this is indicating a person who is pressing in towards their goals, pressing in towards achieving what God has for them and moving into their destiny. As a church, is it our destiny to bring blessing to Marlow? Does that involve healing the hurts caused by division and modelling something different? Yeah, I believe it is. To the measure of stature, this is the third thing we're to attain to the measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This is big, full stature. This is, whoa. This is about abundance. This is the humility that Paul talks about at the start of chapter 4 isn't about being small. It's not about being little. It's about being who we are in Jesus. It's about knowing that, and it's about the influence we can have when we bring the love of God, the presence of God into situations. And with the patience and the tolerance and the gentleness that the Holy Spirit gives us, because maybe you're not like me, but I don't always have a lot of that in my own strength. But the Holy Spirit, when we're moving in him, we're moving in his goals. And it's obvious, I suppose, but the more of Christ that there is in us, then the more confident we can be as we talk to people and move into these situations. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Paul says in Colossians. So, when we are mixing our clear picture of Jesus with our maturity, walking in our God-given gifts and destiny, full up, big, with the grace and abundance that God has for us, wow. Our influence and our impact on this town will be enormous. And when we're doing it together, that's not just adding together, that's multiplying. It's exponential. That's the way God works. Yeah. One aspect of this division that brings a lot of angst and pressure to families in Marlow is the whole thing about being selected or not for Borlase. I know this is a sensitive subject, but oh, yeah. I heard about it before we came to Marlow, and I just thought, oh, I'm glad I live in Maidenhead. Now I'm going to go through all that, you know. But then, of course, we had other problems in Maidenhead, but, you know. And I was going to say, well, of course, the problem isn't Borlase itself. Although, Borlase was founded, as I understand it, on the foundations of Freemasonry. So maybe it wasn't always a neutral spiritual effect in the town. I don't know. But really what I'm thinking of now is the effect the selection process has on the children and on the families in the town. And apparently the kids in the early years of primary school are streamed as to whether they think they're going to be worthy to get the coaching, to take the... And you just think, oh, my life. There's the whole passing and failing thing, and there's the loss of friendships, which survive or not because the kids, which school the kids go to. And this isn't just the kids' friendships, this is parents and their friends as well. I'm not against grammar schools, please hear me. Katie went to Burnham Grammar, and that was a miracle. And Joss did her... anybody that... She went halfway through year 10 because she was really having a bad time at Cox Green, and it was absolutely a miracle. Maidenhead Church prayed for her for that. Joss did her sixth form in Borlase, and she loved it. So, you know, I'm not anti the school. But the whole thing seems so intense here. And I think probably it just... there's Marlow's not a huge place, 14,000 people. There's two schools. It's kind of either or. It's an intense thing, isn't it? It's probably just halfway due to the geography of the place, but somehow it affects people. And it seems to be a particular blight on the community sometimes, to be honest. It causes hurts and upsets, and they last for too long. What can we do? What can we say? What can we model into this situation? We need to get creative. Maybe some symbolic communication and prayer and forgiveness and chat about this within the church would help break situations out there. I don't know. That's an idea. But whatever ideas you've got, let us know. I think we should be considering this issue. From verse 14, Paul is talking about how, because we are clear and discerning in our picture of Jesus, walking in our destiny, big with the grace of God, we should be above being ensnared by the prevailing attitude. There you go. We should be able to see through to the spiritual realities and bring truth and love into the deception around us. We can bring the presence of Jesus into these hurts. It seems to me there is an artificially exaggerated division in Marlow. In any town or city, there are areas of cheaper housing and there will be families needing our help. But we need to be careful not to miss the people who can help us in those areas, because they're likely to be younger people, young couples, singles. They've got something to offer. They just need envisioning. They need empowering. Conversely, there are people in wealthier areas of town, and maybe they look like they have it all together, but some of them are living in desperation behind their fancy front doors. And they don't need to be given things to do. Although they look the sort to be capable, they actually need to be given love and security to overcome what's happening in their lives and to let people in to help. Appearances can be deceptive. We are a benevolent congregation. We are. Ian and Liz have come and said that this morning, and it's true. Historically, we are. But people often need a mix of benevolence and empowering. I was thinking about it. Pete Hopkinson here? No, I can't see him. Yeah, there he is. Hello, Pete. I was thinking about the microfinance thing. That is just a brilliant example of benevolence, but more empowering. You know, you give somebody a little thing and wow, you watch them fly. That's the lady with the felt factory and all that. Just amazing stories, really. Because, you know, charities have got smart and they're very aware of not creating dependency culture. We need to also be aware of that here. We've been thinking and talking and praying lately, and we've mentioned it again this morning, about possibilities around the Marlow Youth Centre. We've had a long and fruitful association with that place, thanks to River Church team, River Life team, excuse me, and other projects over the years. And it was I was really cross we couldn't hold our Christmas meeting there because we really wanted to do that. But we are planning to try and get to hold stuff there and use that place. But we don't want to inadvertently create another All Saints Holy Trinity situation when we do that. We don't want one set of people over there and one set of people here. That's not what we want. We want one congregation in Marlow. Comparing ourselves to others breeds insecurity. I've had people with lovely homes tell me that they're nervous about hosting stuff in their houses because they think their rooms are too small. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. This is Marlow. Anyway. I love the Message translation of Galatians 5:25-26. Somebody gave me this word for me myself once, and it stuck with me because it's really, it's been a great word for me, and I hope that, that those of you that need it will take it on board as well. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold on to it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each one of us is an original. That's the message we want to spread across Marlow. That's what people need to hear. And by leaning into and being empowered more and more by the Spirit of Jesus, we will be able to believe this more for ourselves and get it out there. This congregation represents all of Marlow, and so I think we can be addressing these sensitive issues. They are difficult issues to a lot of people. Loving and empowering and expecting great things across all of Marlow, to be bringing healing by modelling a unity that commands a blessing, as it says in Psalm 133, across the whole town. By bringing that one Spirit, that Holy Spirit, bringing the presence of God, moving those mountains.